The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
You know, I think one of the reasons that many Christians that love the Lord are not familiar with the blessing of the Torah is we know that we're not under the law, we're under grace. Mm-hmm. So we make the mistake then of thinking that the law has no relevancy. We're not under the law. I'm 100% about grace. But the law is God's self-revelation.
Rabbi Kurt Snyder unlocks hidden biblical mysteries from Genesis to Deuteronomy by decoding the Torah. Next on Life Today.
You know, we're just so glad to be able to talk to you. I'm James Robinson. My wife Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. And I want you to know that I spend a lot of time praying for our viewers, even though I never get to see you. And I know some of you are saying, well, I'm glad you can't. I'm not even dressed yet. It's early in the morning. I understand. But I want you to know we love you and we care about you. And we try to bring guests, Betty, that will just pour God's blessings all over you. And here is a man by the name of Rabbi Snyder. And this is one of many books, but Decoding, Understanding the Torah Better as a Christian, and he's Jewish. But God did something in his life. And Rabbi, we're glad to have you.
I love you, my brother. God bless you. Admire and honor both of you.
Good to see you.
I was blessed to be able to be here with you today. I was supposed to be someplace else, and the opportunity came. I was so refreshed to get an invitation to be back with you, because I say this sincerely. I am just inspired by the decisions that you've made over the course of your life to honor Jesus and to not be drawn and seduced out into seeking fame first and the other things, but to allow the Lord just to continue to direct your heart. It's an inspiration to me because, frankly, we're living in a world where many have not taken the right route that are even representing Jesus.
Well, I just thank you for that, and I want you to know that more than ever, I'm in my 80s now. Betty says you don't have to tell him I am too, but here's the deal. I'm, you know, living at the latter part of my life. I lived to be 100. I've lived 80% of my life. But the point is that I love Jesus more now. I'm more committed to his vision, to his dream, than any personal interest I've ever had. I am totally controlled and consumed by seeing the Father's will done on earth through his family, through his body, the church. And I'm asking God, please let us see your will done on your earth. Rabbi, I want to know, I just want to ask you this. How did you, as a Jewish person, how did you come to know Jesus? Because Jesus is Jesus the Messiah to you, right?
Absolutely. He is my Messiah.
And he's your Lord.
That's correct.
And he changed your life. And it was unexpected, I suppose.
Yeah.
Would you tell us about it? I really want to know.
It was a radical encounter. And I was 20 years old. I was very lost. I was struggling in the darkness. I lost my identity is basically what happened. I was a very committed athlete in school. I wrestled all through school, trained all year long, got a scholarship to wrestle in college at the University of Tampa. But when I walked off the wrestling mat after wrestling my last match in high school and I looked into the future, I suddenly realized that wrestling didn't mean a hill of beans, that the world no longer was comprised of people that wrestled my weight class. I was going into a big world now, and rather than feeling in control like I had felt when I was wrestling, all of a sudden I realized I wasn't in control. And I felt very alone, very confused. I lost my purpose, lost my identity. I was struggling like that for about 2 years. Long story short, and by the way, I've got a book out. It's called Call to Breakthrough. I tell the whole story. But what happened was I dropped out of college. I thought maybe if I made a lot of money, that it would help to ease some of the pain, even though, James, Betty, I knew that making a lot of money was not the answer, because I grew up in a fairly wealthy neighborhood and people had problems in the area that I grew up in too. Maybe not the same problems, but people still had problems, but I didn't know what to do. So grasping for straws, I dropped out of college to open up a discotheque. It's back in the 1970s. And it was during this time that I was formulating this plan to open up the discotheque that I went to sleep one night. Now, keep in mind, it was 1978. No one had ever witnessed to me in my life. Jesus was as far away to me as the man on the moon. Jesus was just absolutely not part of my universe. I went to sleep, 1978, once again, 20 years old. It was a hot August night, and the Lord awoke me from my sleep into what I describe as a state of conscious awareness. Suddenly, I was aware that I wasn't sleeping. My eyes were still closed, and in color, a vision of the night, Jesus appeared on the cross. There were people in the distance looking at him as he was on the cross, and then a ray of red light from straight through the heavens, from straight even above the blue, came down on Jesus' head. And I knew as an American that the person on the cross was Jesus. That's all I knew as an American. That's Jesus Christ. When I saw that ray of red light, James Betty, come down on his head from the heavens, I knew the symbolism was that God was showing me that Jesus was the way to him. And it lasted no more than 2 seconds. That's how brief it was. But I knew instantly that God had just revealed himself to me. Looked at my radio. It was my clock radio. It was 3:30 in the morning. I got out of my bed, went to the restroom, went back to sleep. Next morning, I woke up. I mean, I had hope. I knew that there was that God was alive, that he had a purpose for my life, and everything was going to be okay. And briefly, I just started telling everybody about this experience. Eventually, somebody said, go get a New Testament. So I went and got a New Testament, started devouring the New Testament, and it went on from there. And my parents, it was very difficult for them, my whole family, all my Jewish friends. I basically lost my family and my friends.
They actually hired people to deprogram you, didn't they?
Yeah.
Almost what kind of took you captive a little bit?
Yeah, they did. They absolutely did. Yep. Yeah. They was the most famous deprogrammer in the country at the time, Ted Patrick out of California. You can look him up online. And he helped his kid get out of a cult. So then he decided he was going to, you know, open up a business getting kids out of cults. So my parents they didn't know what I was doing, a Jew believing in Jesus. So then that was a cult. So yeah, they brought him in, and it's a long story, but that is true.
Well, I can tell that you are in love with Jesus. So that now was quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
And God has blessed you so much. You've written just many books. But you wanted to talk to us about the things in the Torah that you thought might have more meaning. You say, you know, Christians, we live by grace, not by law. Mm-hmm. But the books of the law are important. They have meaning. Can you tell us, from your point of view, what we as Christians need to see about understanding the blessing of the Torah, why all of God's Word is important, if we understand it as He wants us to see it, with His guidance and His direction and His wisdom?
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the reasons that many Christians that love the Lord are not familiar with the blessing of the Torah is we know that we're not under the law. We're under grace. Mm-hmm. So we make the mistake then of thinking that the law has no relevancy. We're not under the law. I'm 100% about grace. But the law is God's self-revelation. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he said, do not think I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. Yeah. I've not come to abolish, but fulfill. And everybody that teaches others to reject the law and the prophets, he said, would be called least in the kingdom of God. And those that follow the principles of them and teach others to do so would be called greatest, not in some other kingdom, but in the kingdom that he came to establish, he said, in the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. So I want to just clarify for our Christian audience today that we are not under the law. But there's a difference between being under the legal requirements of the law. That's one thing. Over here, we're not under the legal requirement of the law. But what we don't want to do is throw away the self-revelation and the wisdom of God for our lives that's in the law. So what I've done in my book, Decoding the Torah, is I've gone through over 100 laws from the Torah, talking about what they meant in their original historical context, and then sharing with Christians how they apply to our lives today as principles, mm-hmm. as we're following Jesus as his disciples. And every law only take a couple pages, so it's not like you got to be a scholar. It's like you could almost use it as devotional. But the law addresses every single area of our life. And I'm telling you, I'm sincere from the bottom of my heart, it will be a blessing for every one of Jesus' disciples.
Well, go over some of the things that you think that we, by the way, don't you, Betty, just see the glory of God in this Jewish man, that he still has his, some of his, I don't know, does this have anything to do with the Jewish practices?
For the payas?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So one of the laws is that the Jewish people are not to cut the four corners of their beard. or their sideburns here. And some of the laws, the rabbis say, we don't know exactly why God gave us this law, but the highest form of devotion is to follow the laws even that we don't understand. So there are different theories as to why the Lord commanded Jewish people to grow the payas or the side locks. I don't do it because I'm under the law. I do it because I want to make a statement in the earth that the most authentic form of Jewish spirituality is to become a disciple of Jesus. So I want to stand out as a Jew and make the case for Jesus. That's why I grew that.
But it works. No, it absolutely does work, brother. I was curious about it. I appreciate you answering it. But touch on some of the things that will illustrate what you would like us to see.
Absolutely. So, for example, one of the laws, it sounds really obscure. It's one of the first ones that I cover because I go from Genesis through Deuteronomy in order. So going back to the book of Genesis, one of the laws that's actually titled the prohibition against eating the thigh muscle of any animal. So you read that and you think, well, what is that about? I mean, you definitely turn the page in the Bible and just think there's nothing there for me. But what that does is it goes back to the book of Genesis. We say in Hebrew, Bereshit, the book of origins, where Jacob wrestled with God. We all know the story. And in the middle of the wrestling match, God dislocated Jacob at the thigh area or the hip area. And then after God dislocated his thigh or his hip area, then God changed his name from Jacob to Israel and blessed him. So the principle is that God could not bless Jacob until he broke the seat of pride. So when you look at the human skeleton, you know, the thigh or the hip area is the strongest skeletal part of the body. So before God could bless Jacob and make him the founder of the 12 tribes of Israel, God had to first break him of self-reliance. So all these things are, I mean, they're so rich and they're so deep. We know this is New Testament principle, right? Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Lord, take it away. God says, I'm not going to take it away. My power is going to be perfected in your weakness. So, I mean, there's so many, James, Betty. I mean, I could go on and on, but that's just the one of the early ones I start with.
Well, go ahead and touch on some of the others because I know you listed.
I have so many.
But the thing about it is, just like that was interesting, what you just shared with us then, and it could be confusing, but God is not meaning for any of it to confuse us. He wants to bless us with everything He says because His Word, it blesses us, and when we heed it and we build on it, it's amazing what it does to our life.
Exactly.
It fills us with His life.
Exactly. You know, to your point, James, when we look at the King James Version of the Bible, and I love every translation of the Bible that is intent is to be an accurate translation of God's Word, but all of them are translations, so you're going to find slight nuances in the different translations. In the King James, for people even that are watching right now that have a hard copy of the King James, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, we have a translation that says, for the law came by Moses, and then the King James has, in it's an italics, it says, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So think about this. You'll notice the word but is in italics. Why is it in italics? Because the translators are showing that they added it. They were trying to help us. But it actually really hurt the church because the word but sets up a contrast. Like, but, it's like, oh, you look really good today, but there's a slight tear on the back of your pants. The reality is the law, it's not opposite God's grace. The verse right before that says, grace upon grace. How many graces? Two. Grace upon grace we have all received, for the law was given by Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. So all these laws, they're elementary graces. They're not opposite the grace of God. They were a preliminary grace before the fullness of God's grace was revealed in Jesus. Here's another one, real simple. I go through so many, but just a common one, the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a blessing for man. I mean, this is one of the primary laws of the Jewish people is to celebrate Shabbat. I'm not here to make an issue on what day you should celebrate Shabbat, whether it should be Friday at sunset, Saturday. I mean, Shabbat is Friday at sunset to Saturday at sunset. But I think the important principle is for God's people to take a day a week to truly just rest in the Lord, rest unto the Lord. It's an opportunity for spiritual blessing. That's why Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man. But how many Christians today really have a discipline built into their life where they take a day a week to stop, to rest unto the Lord, to appreciate His beauty and creation, and to delight in Him? it brings health to God's people.
And today, I think we need it more than ever.
We need it more than ever.
But do you think that it includes actual physical rest sometimes, too?
Yeah.
Where you're just not wearing yourself down, but you're actually taking a break for your body's benefit?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the one day a week you can go to sleep and know you're doing a mitzvah. You know you're doing a good deed by sleeping on Shabbat. I mean, you're doing the right thing, you know, taking a rest. And what I love about it is a lot of times people associate it with legalism. But you know what the Lord did on Shabbat when He created the world in 6 days and then He rested on the seventh, according to the book of Genesis? He then delighted in what He had made. So it's a chance every week to kind of be thankful for all the good things that we've accomplished that week in the Lord, and to delight in what God has done in creation, to look outside. It really is an opportunity for impartation.
I think what I hear you saying too is God's truth, God's laws are there for a purpose to bring us to Him, to spiritually grow in Him. That you, one without the other, you need both.
Yeah.
I mean, because I was a good little church girl. Mm-hmm. I lived by the law of the church, basically. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know Jesus, you know, and I was empty inside. Mm-hmm. But when God sent this man into my life as a young teenager and led me to Jesus, to let me know about Jesus that I'd studied about as a growing up very small, you know. But yet I didn't have that truth in my heart. Mm-hmm. And when they mesh together, it makes such a difference.
That's right. That's right.
So we need that foundation, but with God's truth and love and spirit.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you were explaining some of those things about the Sabbath and talking about what we should learn, I found myself just being amazed at how much I've just learned by experiencing it. In other words, I began to experience what He's telling us He wants us to experience. Mm-hmm. And I begin to live what He says He wants us to live. Mm-hmm. And I really do believe that He can carry us, He can guide us, His Holy Spirit living in us. He can teach us truth just in our spirit and in our mind that is in perfect harmony with His Word. And we always have His Word to be a balance point or to be a measuring stick for us to know if we are, in fact, staying in line with God and if it is Him carrying us and not the enemy misdirecting us. Mm-hmm. And I just live with an overflow.
Amen. Amen. That's what it's all about. Our ministries are an overflow, not a project.
You know, I see that so much in you. Let me just say to our viewers, we're going to talk more with Rabbi Schneider, and he's going to talk to us about hearing and knowing God through His Word in ways that we might not have. And he is so full of Jesus, and he does love us and our ministry, and I'm glad that you do, because I'm glad you see Jesus in it.
Amen.
Let me just say to all of you, you the viewers, you're the reason that we're able to do so much for others. Do you know why we're able to put God's arms around the overlooked, the least of these, the suffering, and those that have been literally taken captive by the enemy and held in slavery, sexual slavery? You know why we're able to help them? Because you care. I want you to look in right now at what we're doing. We're trying to rescue those who are held captive, most of them as children, in sexual slavery. And we have an opportunity to create a new place for them to be. It's a lot like the home that we built that may be the largest safe house in the world, and you built it, people like you. Well, we have another place, not as large as that one, but it's a great place. We're going to need some help to finish it. I want you just to listen to one of our partners as they talk about how they go out and find those held captive and begin to put God's loving arms around them. But it all happens because of people like you who pray and help. Listen prayerfully.
You ask me why I do what I do. I'm motivated by the scripture verse in Psalm 82, verse 4. Rescue the needy and the afflicted, and deliver them from the hand of the wicked. How do we deliver people who are in the hand of the wicked? It's us. It's God's people. I'm almost in tears because I know how heart-wrenching it is, because trafficking happens globally and a huge mess in our hands. this particular country where I work, the borders are open. So these open borders become fertile ground for trafficking to occur. There are many dance bars or singing bars, and at night it's a front, but at nighttime they turn into prostitution, sex slaves. That's what's happening. And those who can't find work, they're looking for work elsewhere, out of the country, faraway places. That's when the young girls end up as domestic workers and even bonded labor, and many of them end up in sex slave trades. The most effective means to curtail sex trafficking in this particular country is by becoming human interceptors. So what we do is we have trained team staff members. Their job is to stop the traffic, ask questions. We work very closely with the local authority right then and there, and we contact their guardians, their parents. So parents are thrilled that we have found their kids. So we care for them. We provide shelter, we provide clothing, we provide food. However long it's going to take, they are in our care. That's when we have the opportunity to talk to them about the dangers of trafficking, counsel them, and show them just the love of the Father. And somebody cares for you. And my heart is to continue to be the advocate, and our team to continue to be the voice for the voiceless, and bring freedom where it's needed for the glory of God, that we can do so much more. We need your help.
You know, I don't know if you're grasped by what you just heard, but Betty, that precious woman and those along with her, they're literally going out and finding the targets for the sexual predators and those that they've already got, and going and meeting with their parents, even if they can find them, to let them know what they're going to do. And when we say what they're going to do, it means what we're going to do, because we're their partners and we're their source of support, which means you're their source of support. And we're asking you right now to help us rescue those that are being trafficked. It costs an average of $128 to rescue one from that terrible lifestyle and get them hope and help. Could you do that? Could you give $1,280 and rescue 10? Betty, we have here one of the most beautiful gifts I've ever seen. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. Isaiah 26:3. This is the most beautiful blanket throw I've ever seen. I have poor circulation in my legs because of diabetes and because I abused my body with too much sugar. And it's there. And I'm living with it, and I'm handling it, and I keep it under control. But my legs get cold. This is going to be
like
over.
This.
And you're going to have one, too, I guarantee. This is the prettiest throw, the prettiest blanket I've ever seen in my life. And you give a gift of $128 to do what you can to help us. Would you please? We're asking you to give $1,280 and get this beautiful line of Judah and this one with the cross. This is the most special one I've ever seen of all our bronzes. We are going to send a book to you called Power, Provision, and Peace. That is the most amazing book, going from all the truths of God to just help us have power, provision, and peace. And this is His power, the right power. Father, thank you for our viewers. Thank you for the people that do more than look in on pain or need, but they reach out and they put your arms around that person that's in trouble, that's being trafficked, that's being defeated and destroyed, and they set them free. Thank you for that. Lord, raise them up today to put your arms around those in need, in Jesus' name. Call that number, go online, make the best gift you can. If you write a check, make it to Life. If you use a bank card, use it like a check. Please make the gift of life today. Betty and I, from the bottom of our heart, say thank you so much. And we want to bless you with some beautiful gifts. You're giving the greatest gift. You're giving life. Thank you so much.
Innocent children longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, your gift today of only $128 will help reach, rescue, or restore a child and change their destiny forever. Gifts of $64 or $32 will be combined with support from others to help rescue one more child from the shame and pain of sexual slavery. Currently, our life rescue centers in Southeast Asia are at maximum capacity. More space is urgently needed, and we must complete and renovate a new rescue home immediately. Please consider a very special extra gift, as we urgently need $1.25 million above our normal budget to complete and renovate this place of hope. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you power, provision, and peace, bringing together the life-changing truths of Acts, Romans, and 1st and 2nd Corinthians in the Passion Translation. These books come alive with fresh revelation and timeless power. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the beautiful and soft Perfect Peace blanket, bearing the words of Isaiah 26:3 as a meaningful reminder that those who trust in the Lord are never alone. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will help save 10 children. And you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
But I just say thank you so much. And by the way, if you'd like to have Decoding the Torah, you just make a gift to help us and ask for it. We'll send it to you to bless you. You can get it online or in a bookstore, but we'll send it to you if you'll help us bless others. I want to mention something else. One of the greatest things we ever did was build a house of destiny where thousands and thousands have been totally set free and their life rebuilt. Well, we have not one that big, but we've got a facility in Asia. Right now, we raised about half of the $1.2 million that we needed, but we still need over $500,000 to complete that. Could you make a special gift toward that beautiful home for restoration? We really do need it. Thank you so much. Thanks for watching. We're going to talk to you again tomorrow, Rabbi.
Okay.
And we're going to be blessing the people who are watching.
Beautiful.
Thank Looking you so much
that.
For being with us.
Absolutely.
God bless you.
Have you ever wondered how some obscure Old Testament laws can be relevant today? Rabbi Kurt Snyder continues to decode the Torah tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.